You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
We've all heard advertisers and politicians offer more than they can deliver. It's been said the only person who makes more bombastic promises than a politician is a young man proposing marriage to his sweetheart. Probably so. Some promises are too good to be true. Yet God made a promise, and he repeated it throughout the Old Testament. God promised that he would return the scattered Jews from the four corners of the world. He would regather them to the land that he had given to Abraham, and that he would reestablish his kingdom on this earth. And yet for centuries, respected Christian scholarship scoffed at such an idea. Roman Catholic theologians assumed that God was through with the nation Israel. They spiritualized God's promises to the Jews and applied them to the church. Only a few faithful voices dared to take the Bible literally. The Puritans and some of the Reformers were early advocates of a Jewish restoration. They wrote of what they called the calling of the Jews. But most scholars rejected God's promise. In fact, the 1911 Encyclopedia Britannica said of the Hebrew language, "The possibility that we can ever again recover the correct pronunciation of ancient Hebrew is as remote as the possibility that a Jewish empire will ever again be established in the Middle East." And yet today, go to Israel and you'll witness regathered Jews speaking a revived Hebrew in their ancient homeland. As it turns out, God's promises to the Jews were not too good to be true. For after 19 centuries of waiting, today that promise is being fulfilled before our very eyes. Modern Jews are making aliyah, or immigrating to Israel. God and Zionism are bringing Jews from around the world back to their ancestral home. On the mountains of Israel, God is working a modern-day miracle. And for the next 2 weeks, I want us to look at the exciting prophecies of Ezekiel chapter 36 through 39. Well, chapter 36 begins, "And you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because the enemy has said of you, aha, the ancient heights have become our possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, because they made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, so that you became the possession of the rest of the nations, and you are taken up by the lips of talkers and slandered by the people. Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord." God, through Ezekiel, speaks to Israel's mountains, and in one sentence summarizes 1,900 years of their history. "Because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, so that you became the possession of the rest of the nations." He speaks of what is today known as the Jewish diaspora, or the dispersion, how the Jews became the possessions of the rest of all the nations. The Jewish diaspora began with the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD. The Romans came and laid siege to the city. And like Babylon, 6 centuries earlier, Rome sacked the city of Jerusalem. They burned the temple. They stole its treasures, and in the process, the Romans killed 1 million Jews. The final few died at Masada near the Dead Sea. The rest of the Jews were scattered throughout the empire. And for the next 1,900 years, the Jews lived as strangers in strange lands. The wandering Jew was proverbial for the Jewish people who moved from country to country seeking a place where they would be welcome, where they could live out their religion in peace. But everywhere the Jews went, they encountered prejudice and hatred and persecution. Tragically, whether living under the Muslim crescent or the Christian cross, their experience was a similar plight. In 135 AD, Roman Emperor Hadrian made it a capital offense to practice Judaism. Later emperors made it illegal for Jews to intermarry Christians, banned Jews from holding high office in the empire, massacred Jews who tried to re-enter Jerusalem to resettle their city. And yet, as the church's persecutor, Rome, passed away from the pages of history, Jewish society lived on. The same was true, though, of Muslim rulers. Over and over, the Jews were given the ultimatum, convert to Islam or die. And tragically, life for the Jews was no better under the church. In 1096 AD, Pope Urban II ordered the First Crusade to rid the Holy Land of Muslims. But as the Crusaders traveled to Israel, they practiced fighting on Jews. They killed the Jews and burned their synagogues and assumed they were doing God a favor by ridding the world of the Christ killers. In 1215, at the Fourth Lateran Council of the Church, the Pope ordered the Jews to wear a badge distinguishing them from Christians, a scornful practice started not by German Nazis, but by the Roman Catholic Church. In 1290, Jews were ordered out of England. In 1306, banished from France. In the late 1400s, the Spanish Inquisition slaughtered thousands of Jews. And in 1600, Jews were falsely blamed for spreading the Black Plague throughout Europe. And all over, panicked people spilled Jewish blood in retaliation. Sadly, the world's rejection of the Jews crescendoed in the early 20th century with the rise of Nazism and the horrors of the European Holocaust. Even today, we see a spike in anti-Semitism. It's raised its ugly head again. In The Fiddler on the Roof, the old Jew Teve, he prays this prayer. I know, we are the chosen people, but God, once in a while, can't you choose somebody else? For when God chose Israel for special privileges, special obligations were part of the deal. He promised the Jewish people enormous blessing if they kept his law, but enormous curses if they rebelled. And sadly, rebelled they did. Their revolt came to a head by rejecting God's Son and their Messiah, our Lord Jesus. Jewish leaders stood at Pilate's judgment seat and they cried out, "His blood be on us and on our children." And it has been for 1900 years now. Once a Jewish rabbi appeared before the Spanish monarchs, Ferdinand and Isabella. He said, "You cannot curse us, for there is a blessing on us. And you cannot bless us, for there is a curse on us." In other words, it wasn't Spain that had power over the Jews. God was controlling their destiny. And for 1900 years, God disciplined his people. God stood silently by as the Jews endured the pogroms and the horrors of ghetto life and even the Holocaust. As Ezekiel said of the Jews in verse 3, "You became the possession of the rest of the nations and slandered by the people." And yet all the while, God's promise of restoration kept echoing in the background. Well, verse 4 continues. "Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, the hills, the rivers, the valleys, the desolate wastes, and the cities that have been forsaken, which became plunder and mockery to the rest of the nations all around. As God dispersed his people Israel, he brought desolation to their land. During the 400 years of Arab rule, then the 800 years of Turkish rule, the land of Israel was never resettled. In 1881, only 300,000 people lived in Israel, compared to the over 2 million that lived there during Roman times. And most of those people were nomads. Under the Arabs and the Turks, the land was mistreated. Vast forests that
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Sandy Adams. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Sandy's teaching ministry by visiting sandyadams.org.